Morning, church. Please be seated and welcome to church. My name is Daniel, and this is our resurrection weekend, our Easter Sunday, as some call it. But it is also a weekend where we want to trust God for healing. But some 2,000 years ago, this is the narrative that we are celebrating, that on Friday, when Jesus said, "It is finished," well, death thought he was finished, right? And that night, it was a night of confusion, a night of discouragement, a night of great fear, and perhaps even a night of some anticipation. But Saturday rolls around, and Jesus was still dead. And many people were thinking, wow, this is it. It's one whole night, and he's still lying in the grave on this day of rest, the Sabbath. Actually, yesterday was the Passover. It was actually the actual Passover itself. And they were thinking, this is it. But we know that that was not the end of the story. That's, I guess, the thing about being 2,000 years on. You have seen all the spoilers, isn't it? Because on Sunday morning, early Sunday morning, before the sun came up, there were some women who went to this grave, this tomb where Jesus was kept. And they found the stone rolled away, and Jesus was not there. Rather, the angel told them, "He is not here, but Christ is risen." Amen? Amen. He is risen indeed. Can you say amen? Amen. And that is why we are here today. Amen. And some of you look so sad, but you know, he's no longer dead, right? He is risen indeed. Amen. So today, you know, we are here, we are celebrating this grand narrative. The most epic contest of history took place some 2,000 years ago when Jesus went toe to toe with the greatest enemy of all, the final, the mortal enemy, death itself, and he came out victorious. So we are not simply suffering, we are not simply celebrating the suffering of Christ, as sometimes we are apt to do during Holy Week. We are consumed by the, you know, the blood and the punishment and the pain. That is not what we are celebrating. We are celebrating the fact that Jesus went against this great enemy and he came out victorious. He holds the keys to life. And today, he holds the keys to our life. And we are so thankful to God, he does deserve the highest praise. Not only did Jesus do that 2,000 years ago, I believe that he is here today. Resurrection power of Christ is alive and at work in our lives and in this community and this world of believers today. So today I want to look at a verse that maybe can help us focus on what Jesus had done. This is found in Matthew chapter 9, verse 18 to 19. And I'd like to read that for you. It's on the screen also, I think. While he spoke these things, and Jesus had been going around the peoples, he had been teaching around, and he had come to this particular place. While he spoke this to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, "My daughter had just died, but come and lay your hand on her, that she will live." So Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. The first thing I want to say is that when the Bible says a ruler came, it does not mean a ruler. This is just, the Hebrew word would have been something like a prince, right? Someone of great standing, of some reputation, perhaps even some wealth, someone who was found in a higher rungs of society, right? The upper echelons of society. This man who would otherwise have been quite self-sufficient, he wouldn't have had to come to Jesus, because I guess in most circumstances, he would be able to find his own way out. But in this particular case, he found himself in a predicament for which he had no solution, for which his wealth, his status, his position in society availed not. So he had come, and this prince, the Bible says, worshipped him, although I think really the Hebrew word, this is written in Greek, but you know, they would have spoken in Hebrew, but that word would have simply meant he bowed down before Jesus. He came before Jesus, he prostrated himself before Jesus, and he said this, "My daughter has just died." And I think anyone who has a son or a daughter will relate to this. Your most precious, right, has just died. And we all know, then as now, the death is the mortal enemy. There's no coming back from death, not usually anyway, right? But he says this, but come and lay your hand on her that she will live. Jesus, there's just one thing I'm asking, just one touch from you. That is all I'm asking. This man who has everything else just says to Jesus, I just want one touch. Just lay your hand and she will live. You know, with us, death is this insurmountable mountain. And I think we can all probably relate to this man here. We may not find ourselves in the upper echelons of society. Perhaps we see ourselves as being somewhere in the middle rungs. Some of us may even consider ourselves in the lower rungs of society. But death discriminates no one, right? It's the same. Whether you're rich or you're poor, you're faced with this insurmountable mountain that you cannot scale. Even today as Christians, you know, we go to, as a pastor, I go to a lot of funerals, right? We run funerals. You don't normally expect people to rise up from the dead at funerals, right? But I will tell you that many times at funerals, I wonder, does this happen to you? I wonder if this will be the funeral, the one where the guy actually gets up, right? It could be probably quite traumatic for a lot of people if that did happen. We don't usually expect people to come back from the dead. But this man, probably against the advice of his loved ones, said, come on, you have to let her go, right? It is over. Don't try anymore. But this father would not. His love for his daughter propel him to try the last resort, the last and final recourse, to find this man, Jesus. We know that in the Bible, in the gospel narrative, Jesus raised three people from the dead, including this particular girl, right? The other two times was his dear friend Lazarus. We have heard that story. But there was another case where he was just passing by the town. Nine, there was a funeral procession going by, and this widow was weeping, and Jesus raised that young man from the dead. So perhaps this news had gone around. Maybe this man had heard of it. This rich and wealthy man who otherwise had no need of another person's help. And perhaps he thought, and he believed, there was a kernel of faith in his heart. With God, it's not over until it's over. Amen? Just like on Friday night, on Saturday night, we would have closed up shop, thrown in a towel, gone home. It's like, you know that movie Rocky Marciano? And you've seen that, some of you have seen that, right? You go to the final bell. When you thought it was just over, these guys get up bloodied and beaten, but it was not over yet. Well, with God, so often, it is not over until it's over. And I know it can be kind of scary to hope. It is, we like to root for winners. I don't know how many of you are sports fans here. Any football fans here? So few. My goodness. You guys are holier than I thought, you know. Right? Maybe some basketball fans here. We like rooting for a winning team. Nobody likes to root for a team that is going to lose, that you know is going to lose for sure, right? They won't sell any tickets for those shows. And the reason is because none of us like the feeling of being disappointed. And I suspect that sometimes it's hard to believe because we do not want to be disappointed. This father probably had someone telling him, look, your daughter is dead. Just let it go. It's over, right? But he wouldn't. He kept pressing in against all this sound advice. And I think it's sound. It's reasonable to believe that no one comes back from the dead. And yet, God knows our heart. So he comes to Jesus, and the Bible simply says this. Jesus arose and followed him. Wow. No question about, well, you know, how many times have you been to church or synagogue, right? Have you prayed? Did you give? You know, what have you done for the kingdom of God? No question whatsoever. What background did you come from? You know, what kind of things have you done in your life? None. Because Jesus looks at us with compassion in our heart. He loves us. Turn to your neighbor and say, he loves you. Right? It's hard to believe that Jesus would love a random person coming out with a need like that. We all have needs today. And I want you to know today that God, as he did that man, he loves each one of us. Amen? Amen? You don't look terribly convinced, you know. But Jesus loves you, all right? So he gets up and he goes. Now, this at this point, the story takes a little bit of an interesting twist and turn, right? And just as he was about to go, because this man just wanted this one touch, suddenly the Bible says a woman with a flow of blood came. And it's reading from verse 20 to 22. Suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, "If only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well." But Jesus turned around and he saw her and he said, "Be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you well." And the woman was made well from that hour. So now, as this band of people, this group of people had gotten up and they were about to go to the house of this rich man, this ruler, there was a woman, it seems, who had come to that group, and maybe she was wanting to meet with Jesus. She needed something, just like the rich man, this poor woman needed something from Jesus. And she had hope that maybe she could have gotten an audience. But now, they're getting up and they're going. And she was desperate and said, "You know, this could be my only opportunity. This could be my only moment." Now, you have to understand something about this particular woman. She had a debilitating illness. For 12 years, she was bleeding. We don't know exactly what that problem was, but we do know this, that in Jewish society, in that culture, a person who's bleeding is considered unclean, right? So you are not supposed to touch anyone else because you will make them unclean, so no one will touch you. You are literally quarantined, ostracized from society. You're not supposed to mingle with ordinary people because that would be irresponsible. You remember when the bird flu came around, people were going around with masks, right? You wouldn't go around just like coughing into people's faces. This was a little bit like that. The woman was held in quarantine. She was kept outside of the normal groups of people, but this time, she was desperate. For 12 years, she's been struggling with this, but that also meant that for 12 years, no one has touched her, probably. No one has given this woman a hug to tell her that she's loved. So this is not just a physical problem. It was a social destitution. She was lonely. She was unloved. She was outcast. It was also a problem for her heart as much as it was for her body. So she decides, you know, this is my moment. It is now or never. And so she pushes past all the social expectations, the social taboo, the potential that someone may discover that she is a bleeding person and just like really get angry with her, right? Just get mad at her. The rejection she could possibly feel. But she has heard, she was there in that earlier part, she heard this other rich man say, "Jesus, just one touch from you and my daughter will be well." This dead daughter, she heard this. Now she doesn't know very much, but she heard this man. And she's probably thinking to herself, if one touch from Jesus can raise the dead, surely, surely he can heal me of my sickness. Do you think so? Surely. And she thinks, but you know, I'm not sure if Jesus, this holy man, would want to touch me. I don't think she wants, because that will make him unclean, right? So I will try, if only I can touch the corner of his garment. I could not possibly imagine that he would touch me, but I would just touch the corner of his garment and I will be made well. Just one touch, she thinks to herself. You know, this is not theology, okay? You know, sometimes theology, we've got all these neat explanations of how things work. This is simply a woman's faith, a man's faith in God. And so she pushes past this crowd. She pushes past her own uncertainties, her own fears. She makes the way past her own doubts about the matter. She gets up to where Jesus was living and she reaches out her hand and she holds on to the corner of his garment. At that point, in another narrative, the Bible says Jesus knew that someone had touched him. Now, she had only touched the corner of his garment, right? He didn't touch Jesus physically. But Jesus knew, and I want to submit to you, that the reason Jesus knew was because she touched Jesus. Not with her hands, but with her faith. She touched, she reached out, as it were, with her faith against everything that she knew, against the 12 years of not being healed, against probably having received much advice and help, perhaps even the medicine of her day. She's tried all that. Against all that experience, she reaches out with her faith, not just with her hands, but with her faith, and she touched Jesus. And one touch was all it took. The Bible says, that very hour, she was healed. Amen? That very hour, she was healed. Sometimes, you know, we don't reach out to touch Jesus. I think like this woman, maybe, because we allow our embarrassment, our fear of embarrassment, to stop us. This woman was a little bit embarrassed about her situation, you know? You didn't want to bother people, trouble people with your problems. This woman probably thought, you know, this will be... I didn't want people to know my problems, right? I didn't want people to know that I have this struggle. We want to hide our problems, but this woman had come to such a point that she could no longer contain it. She felt that this was her moment. Maybe today, there are some of us here today who are coming to that place where you are faced with an insurmountable problem, or at least a problem for which there appears to be no ready or easy solution in your lives. And now you're thinking, well, I hear that this Jesus, just one touch, and he heals and he makes us whole. And you're thinking to yourself, you know, but I don't want to embarrass myself. Listen, friends, if you are about to die, there's no time to worry about embarrassment, all right? Because when you are about to die, nobody cares what you're dressed like, you know, what people think or say of you. At that point of time, you're going to get your priorities right. Then this woman, she had her priorities right. She knew what was needed. And when she did, Jesus turns and says, your faith has made you well. It was not the size of your faith that has made you well. It was the fact that you put that little faith that you had into action. Today, we can touch God with our faith as well. It's not the size of your faith, because the faith of a mustard seed, Jesus says, can move a mountain, right? It is not you who's moving the mountain, it's that you are touching the one who moves the mountain. So today, some of us, maybe you're faced with that great challenge that you feel cannot be overcome, that you cannot scale, a situation from which you cannot extricate yourself by human wisdom or human strength. I want to suggest to you this man here who rose from the dead 2,000 years ago. And I want to say to you, just one touch. The thing is this, nobody can do it for you. You cannot send someone else to touch Jesus on your behalf. You will have to touch him with your own faith. And so now, I don't know how long it took. The Bible says in that hour she's made well. Whether it was 10 minutes or 20 minutes, or 45 minutes, or the full hour, we don't know. Perhaps it was slightly longer, or whether it was a process, we do not know, but she was made well that very hour. Now, this crowd, of course, they were on their way. Remember? This is sort of like a side story. It's not even the main story. They were on their way to the house of that rich man, so they go there. And that story continues in verse 23. When Jesus came into the ruler's house, and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing. Now, those of us who are Asians will probably relate to this really well. You know how in many of these Asian funerals, we don't have flute players these days, but you know, occasionally you see a saxophonist and drummers and trumpeters. You have seen this, right? At void decks, and they have this. You know, sometimes you get professional mourners. I'm not sure if they do it because, you know, evidently it's not sad enough. You need to get some more people coming. Make it really, really, you know, sad and pitiful. So this is something that they did as well. So when people died, they would have these people come and make noise and just, you know, to help with the mourning, I think. So there was all these people who were there. They were gathered there because the girl was dead. They were already into mourning. So it was not like she just died. right? Oh, she just died a moment ago. Jesus, please come. It wasn't that. She was died for probably a good day or two. And there was already mourning in progress. So he said to them, make room, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping. I don't know about you. If you were at a funeral and a pastor came along and said, oh, make room, this guy is just sleeping, that pastor would probably get kicked out from that funeral. Probably. There's a good chance of that happening, right? Especially if it's not a Christian funeral. So many times, like I said, I would look at this and wonder, is this person just sleeping, right? Because if this person really rose from that, that would be something for the newspapers indeed. And they ridiculed him, as we would too. Are you crazy? She's been dead not just now, she's been dead for some time. Look, we've done all these funeral preparations. So the crowd was put outside. Jesus went in and took her hand. Just that one touch, and the girl arose. There wasn't like, you know, let's do this magic thing, right? There wasn't saying a lot of special words. Like, there was a special prayer for raising people from the dead, okay? It's all found on page 56 of your manual, right? That's what you do with people. No, there isn't anything like that. Jesus just went up, and Jesus took her hand, and that was it. The girl arose, and this report went out throughout all that land. Can you say hallelujah? Now, the thing is that when we read all this stuff, sometimes we are apt to think that, well, okay, that was like, you know, that was like Bible times. 2,000 years ago. That was Jesus. He did that when he was around. But does he, in fact, still do it today? Does Jesus still do these things today? And I will tell you this. We don't have the secret key. You know, Pastor, maybe in Bible school they taught you some of the secret things about Jesus, right? How do you? No, they didn't. But I want you to know that we have seen enough to know that Jesus does this today. Because he is a risen God. Amen. He is our risen Lord. And he walks with us. And he talks with us. He is among us. And I would say that he is here today. Now, in our church, we have had some testimonies. I want to share this story with you because it's very recent. On December 27, one of our church members, his name is Daryl, right? Daryl and Cecilia, they come to our church. And they received devastating news from the oncologist. Now, I wanted Daryl to come and tell this to you himself, but his doctors wouldn't allow him to leave the hospital, but he was going to come and tell us. So I'm just going to read to you what he wrote. So on 27th of December, they received the news that he had very severe cancer, and basically he only had 3 weeks to 6 weeks to live, right? So they did a cancer marker test in his blood, and they found that his LDH, which is this cancer marker, was at 2012. This is very, very high level, right? So this was a very ill man indeed. So on 31st, a couple of days after that, on the eve of the new year, he tried to get on a drug trial program for his cancer treatment because nothing else worked anymore. So he was rejected because his blood count was too low. So they said, you know, we have this drug, but you can't have it because your blood count is too low. And he was out of solutions. And he remembers 3 weeks is 17th of January. Basically, that's his deadline, right? I mean, not literally, quite literally the deadline. So he went back on the 31st of December. He had lost the opportunity to get the drug. He went to sleep that night on the eve of the new year. He was tired, exhausted and deflated of hopes. He said, only Jesus would pull me through. No other options. And at midnight, his family woke him up just at the start of the new year, 2019. They prayed for him. They spoke over him, right? And as they did, the members said that the growth, he had all these growths all over his body now, on his back, they were subsiding miraculously. Now, he said that he could not see it because on his back, right? It's kind of hard to see. So he went to sleep. He wasn't sure if that was actually what was happening because you're given only just about a week left, right? On the 4th of January, they had a final party, right? You know, kind of going away party to say farewell to his friends, his one last hurrah, he says. on the 10th of January, so he's made it a little bit, almost 17th of January was his final day, but he's made it to 1 week before that. He had gone in for another check because he was now so dehydrated, he could barely move anymore, right? The doctor said, you have only 1 to 2 weeks to live. On the 13th of January, 3 days after that, he shows up in church. I saw him. I was very surprised because he had come straight from hospital to the service. And we're just launching into the new year. So I came up to him, I looked at him, and I'll be honest with you. I wasn't sure how to pray for a man like that who was given basically no hope anymore. So I got to him and said, Daryl, you've been so brave. I think we have to pray for God to do what we cannot do. Right? What we cannot do in our own strength. We have to pray that God will perform a miracle. And so we did a simple prayer right about there. We prayed up in front and I sent him off. My heart was troubled. I was wondering, how long will this man last? Right? He's been given only a week left at that point of time. 13th of January. 2 days after that, he went back to try and get another drug. Still couldn't get it done, right? And he did more blood tests. I'm not sure why you do a blood test when you got 1 week left to live, right? It's just wasting money. But, you know, he did a blood test because the doctor asked him to have a blood test. But they didn't see the results. Nobody looked at the results. The doctor also didn't see the results. But he told the doctor he started feeling better about himself since the New Year's Eve when the family prayed for him, right? He said that Jesus touched him and he started feeling better. And the few days after that, they were fasting and praying. He felt that he was getting better. So he said that my tummy that was inflated was now deflated. I wasn't sure. You know, I think some of us probably could use that help, right? But that was deflated. And the nodules on his skin had grown smaller. So all these growths were getting smaller. He felt better. So the doctor said, okay, let's do a CT scan, right? Let's do a scan and see what's going on with all your tumors. And he found that the tumor seemed to have stopped growing bigger. They tried to talk about using a new drug, new chemotherapy. And, chemotherapy kills everything, right? It's like the Scorch Earth policy, right? Kill the bad ones, kill the good ones, kill everything. Hopefully, it doesn't kill you. So, he said, Doctor, why don't we stop using this chemo thing and just see what happens from here on out? And so the doctor said, okay, let's look at your LDH, your cancer marker cells. Remember, it was 2,000. They looked at the recent test. It was 543. So they were all scratching their head, right? Said, okay, no. Something is wrong with this test. Let's get another test. You see, doctors, they make money no matter what. You die or you live, they still make money. Sorry, doctors, there might be some doctors here. I don't mean you. I mean the government doctors. Okay. On the 18th of January, the next day, they did a test. And now the test was 424. It's even lower, right? So they said, no, something must be wrong. Make more money, right? One more test, all right? 19th of January, 2019, they did one more test. That test came out 350. Now, normal people like you and me, if you went in for a test, your range would be between 222 to 454. In other words, he was normal, right? So he writes, I'm now an anomaly. I'm technically a cancer patient without an active cancer marker reading, right? His oncologist said, I don't understand cancer anymore. I'm not going to predict when you're going to die already. Remember, 17th of January, on 3rd of February, you know, they told him he had a heart attack. He didn't even know it. And actually, last week he celebrated his birthday, you know, and I had originally asked, now he's not out of the woods yet. You know, he had ulcers, he had all kinds of problems. Many of these problems just disappeared, but he's got new problems, right? Now, when I heard this story, especially in this season of Easter, I'm reminded that just one touch from God still works today. God still touches people today. But you see, the point of these miracles is not to replace, let's say, hospitals. It is not to do away with all these other things that we have in our lives. You see, the purpose of the miracles wasn't to deal with the problems per se. It is to point us to the one who holds the keys of life. It is to point us to the one who has once for all defeated death on Resurrection Sunday 2,000 years ago. You see, even if we are healed, or for those of us who are not sick at all, sooner or later we will die of old age, right? So you're not going to get away from that. But there's one who holds the keys to eternal life. And that's the one that we want to know. That's the one who wants to know us. So, we believe that Jesus heals people today. We don't exactly know how or why, but we have the faith to believe that if we could just touch God like that woman, just the hem of the garment, but to touch God with the faith that's in our hearts, whatever little faith you have, sometimes God does this miracle. He opens up a window to heaven and we see the hand of God do something wonderful. Not simply to heal our bodies, but to save our souls. That is why today, you know, I want to ask, maybe there's someone here. You're not a Christian, right? But maybe, like this woman, the circumstances of life have brought you to such a place that you're thinking to yourself, maybe Jesus. Maybe just one touch from you, Jesus, is what I need. Now, if that's you today, I want to encourage you. It's not the size of your faith. It's the fact that you put the little faith that you had into action. And that you take that faith and you reach out your hand and touch God and say, God, I need you. Help me, Lord. Help me in my life. If that's you today, I want to invite you to make that response. I want you to reach out your hand and say, God, I need you. Now, I'm going to ask for a moment everyone to close your eyes, right? Everyone just close our eyes. No one looking around. This is a safe place, all right? Our family here. Today, if you're not a Christian, I'm inviting you to press past any fear, doubt, your uncertainty, maybe even embarrassment. I'm inviting you to reach out your hand and say, Jesus, I need you. If that's you today, without anyone looking around, right now, would you just put your hand up as high as you can so that I can pray for you? Right? Is there anyone here? Just put up your hand as high as you can so that I can see and pray for you. Yes, I see those hands. You can put those down. Anyone else? I see those hands. Some at the back. Yes, I see the hand. There's a few hands at the back there. I see you. And you know, more importantly, God sees you. You can put your hand down in the middle. Yes, I see so many hands going up all over the place today, Lord. Is there anyone else? You did not raise your hand, but yes, I see those two hands up in front. You know, just like that woman, don't miss this opportunity. This could well be your only chance. I'll wait another 10 seconds. Is there anyone else? Just the last person. You're putting up your hand for Jesus. Is there anyone else? I'm going to pray and I invite you to join me in your hearts in prayer. Lord, you see every one of these hands, Lord. They are reaching out in their simple way. Nothing elaborate, just a simple faith, a little bit of faith, and reaching out to touch you in their hearts. Father, I pray today, you will come back and you will reach out your hand with your Holy Spirit and give them that one touch that transformed their life forever. All those hands from the front to the back, every one of them, Father, I pray, wherever they are seated right now, this very moment, God, you will reach out as you did 2,000 years ago. Right now, Lord, from heaven, you will open up a door and you will reach out and that faith, the seed of faith in their heart will grow. You will begin to bring new life into their hearts, Lord. You will begin to restore their lives. You will forgive their sins. You will make them into a new being, a new creation in you. Father, I commit every one of these, of my brothers and sisters, to your hands. I pray today will be the beginning of a brand new journey for them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Yeah, why don't we put our hands together, okay, for them. Now, I want to ask you to do something for me, okay? Because in a moment, we're going to be praying for people who are unwell, who are sick. And there will be many people up here. But your decision is so important. So after the service, after we have done praying for these people, you know, our pastors will be up here. Could you come forward because we have something that we would like to do, pass you and pray with you about your decision, okay? So remember, this is a very important decision, right? Possibly the most important decision in your life. So after we are done praying, people, don't run away. We have some fantastic surprises out in the atrium, but don't run out there. Okay, when you smell the nice food and all that, please don't run out there. Run up here first and then run out there. Is that okay? Now, we believe that Jesus heals, right? I want you to know it is not the touch of the pastor or the words of the pastor. It is the touch of God. And Jesus is here today. Amen. We sang that beautiful song just now, you know. He touched me, right? And do we have that? Yeah. You know, He touched me and He made us whole. Today, I'm going to ask all of you this time. We're going to sing that chorus of the song, okay? And as we sing that chorus of the song, if you are someone who needs a touch from God, I'd like to invite you to come forward. Our pastors will be here, right? And we will be here to pray for you. And I know this is a really old song, but it's such a beautiful song, right? He touches us and makes me whole, right? He touched me. Oh, He touched me. Your song, right? Just come forward. We have people praying for you. Okay, we may need some of the cluster leaders to help us to pray for people, right? A touch from Jesus. Come and help pray for some of us, yourself, our cluster leaders. Not anyone special here. It is your faith. So if you have that need, I want you to come forward. Because yesterday a lady told me she had a need, but she didn't want to come forward. Maybe it's not needy enough. But you know, amazingly, she said she had this pain in her wrist for a long time. And at that moment, she felt something go through her hand. And she turned and her pain was gone. All right? Jesus does this. If that's you, okay, you can come forward. If you are really don't want to come forward, you pray to Jesus. Make this your prayer that He will touch you, even back in the seats back there, right? And for those of us here, if something happens, come and tell us the good news, all right? Okay, we'll sing this and you, why don't the rest of us, we make this our common prayer. Let our faith reach out and touch Jesus on their behalf. Amen.
He touched me.
He touched
yes,
me.
Yes, He did. He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And all the joy that floods my soul. Something. me and made me whole.
Yes, He touched me.
He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Shackled by a heavy burden, beneath the load of guilt and shame,
come forward. It's not too late, all right? Last chance, last call.
Then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, He touched me. That's my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole.
Father, we want to pray for all these folks who are up here who have brought their faith to You, Lord, who are reaching out as it were, perhaps even just for the hem of Your garment. But God, we thank You, because we don't need great faith. All we need is just one touch from the Master, one touch from the hand of the healer. Father, we pray for everyone here today, Lord. However great that challenge that stands before them, Father, I pray today on this Resurrection Sunday, You will prove Your resurrection power again and open our eyes to the living Savior. Father, I pray that You will perform a miracle in the mighty name of Jesus right now for all these people who are here today, that they will see something extraordinary, something that man cannot lay claim to, something that only God can do. Father, a healing in the name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, for everyone who's here. We thank You, Lord, because You touch all of us. In the name of Jesus, we ask and we pray. Amen. Amen. Why don't we sing that chorus one last time, and then we have the closing song. He touched me.
Oh, He touched me.
You know, before we sing the closing song, one reminder. If early on you raise your hand, you made an important decision. Our pastors are here. All right, come up here, talk to us. All right, we won't keep you for a very long time, but we would love to get in touch with you. Amen. Now, when we say Christ is risen, you say He is risen indeed. All right, Christ is risen. Amen. Amen. Shall we sing the closing song?
He's alive. Amen. He's alive, and that's why we will live forevermore with Him. Amen. Let's celebrate this.
Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. Death has lost its victory, and the grave has been denied. Jesus lives forever.
God. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this wonderful day, a day of victory, Lord. And Lord, as we go now from this place, Father, we pray that this living power of resurrection will be with each one of us to bring us health and joy, but also eternal salvation. So we pray as we go now today, we will be full of thanksgiving to you for all that you have done for us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask and we pray. Amen, amen. Service is over. Okay, don't run away. If you got something that God did for you, tell us, all right? Tell somebody. God bless you.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.whos.org.sg. God bless.